The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, Managing Editor of Crypto for Bloomberg News. And this is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily Bloomberg iHeart podcast. It's Thursday, June 30th. It might feel like there's always some kind of election happening in the US, and that's because there is. State and local elections can happen every year, while congressional midterms occur every other year, including this one. These elections allow U.S. voters to decide who will represent them, and they really matter. And because they really matter, crypto executives are spending significant amounts of money to try to influence them. In 2022, for the very first time, political spending by major figures in the crypto industry eclipsed the dollars being spent by traditional donors in big tech and big pharma. Today, Bloomberg reporter Alison Versprill joins me to share her reporting on why crypto is emerging as a significant financial force in U.S. politics. Alison, thank you, as always, for being a guest on the show.
Thanks for having me.
U.S. political lobbying, bit of a hot topic, especially right now. Lots of people who, you know, spend lots of time writing checks to appropriate people or who they hope are the appropriate people to try to, if not control the outcome of a particular policy or piece of legislation, at least influence it in their favor. When we talk about U.S. political lobbying, who are some of the biggest players historically and why is this such an active subsector of politics, as it were?
You know, when you talk about lobbying, I think everyone kind of thinks of big pharma and tech companies and the defense industry, private equity. Those are some of the ones that are usually the biggest spenders. And so, you know, I think they're good ones to compare to if you're talking about whether or not a new industry like crypto is making a difference.
So is crypto making a difference? What happened this year?
So this year, so far, the crypto industry is bypassing big tech, big pharma, defense. The only one that it is lagging behind and quite significantly lagging behind is private equity and other investment firms.
Big Wall Street.
Big Wall Street, yes, which may be not so surprising. But so through all the way through 2021 and the first three months of this year, the crypto industry gave more than $26 million. And to give you a sense of that, comparing to some of these other industries, that compares to the $20 million in contributions from tech firms such as Alphabet, Google, Amazon, $7 million from drug makers, and $18.6 million from defense contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I mean, private equity and investment firms still a good deal higher than that, though. They gave nearly $76 million over that period. But I think you can still draw from this that crypto is becoming a major player, at least in giving money to these candidates.
I mean, especially in a short amount of time, right? Like, that's like something like a 5,000% increase compared with the same period a year ago. Like, what's driving this?
So I think really, I mean, so I've talked to some folks who have said, and this might actually be a record year for crypto giving. And there are a couple of reasons for that. You know, the crypto industry is facing a lot of scrutiny right now from Washington, from, you know, lawmakers, from regulators. So they have an interest in trying to do some political giving, maybe buy themselves some goodwill and mm-hmm. get some regulations that they feel like they can live with.
But mechanically or practically, what are these folks hoping to achieve? Like, goodwill sounds great, but you can't really like put that on a billboard necessarily. like what would success look like for them?
So, you know, I've talked to someone who works in campaigns and he gave kind of a rundown of what we're seeing so far in the crypto industry. And so we do have a lot of crypto firms trying to, you know, give money to candidates, some relatively unknown candidates, and having them really push pro-crypto policy during their races.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this person who worked on campaigns was saying that may not be the most effective strategy because a lot of other entrenched industries, they kind of just give the money and then let the super PAC or let the candidate decide how best to use it to increase their odds of winning. So then your money is actually going somewhere.
And so Allison, when you say a PAC, you know, that's a political action committee. It's sort of a vehicle through which people can funnel money for political spending.
Yes, that's correct.
So the crypto folks are coming in and be like, do this specific thing. Here's $5 million.
Yes, you see a decent amount of that happening. But I think it's worth noting that the biggest donor from the industry so far, Sam Bankman-Fried of the crypto exchange FTX, he's been giving by far the most amount of money, and he's kind of taken a different tactic. His focus has been so far on candidates with, you know, policies for preparing for the next pandemic, which he's told us is, or told me that he feels like that's inevitable, mm-hmm. and that we didn't do a very good job responding to COVID-19. So that's kind of the policy that he's most focused on.
This week, Bloomberg is taking a deeper look at the hunger crisis developing across the globe. The pandemic has upended food supply chains and eroded consumer purchasing power.
With Sam Bankman-Fried, he's been donating a lot through a super PAC. The PAC gave its biggest contribution thus far to a candidate in Oregon, over $11 million.
I'm running for Congress because I want every Oregonian to have prosperity, security, and stability. And stability means protection from foreseeable, preventable disasters, such as pandemics, and to some extent, the inflation and all the effects that have come from the pandemic itself.
And that did not work. His name was Carrick Flynn, and he was a Democrat and a political newcomer, and he ended up losing that race. I think all of this is showing that the crypto industry, while giving a lot of money, still has a lot to learn about the ins and outs of politics and the best way, you know, to get the biggest bang for your buck, if you will.
We are obviously not fully into the midterms. There are many more races to run. Where else is there crypto money sloshing around?
So, you know, there is a lot of crypto money as well sloshing around lobbying on Capitol Hill, people beefing up their firms to go and, you know, talk to lawmakers, maybe sway policy on the legislation that we're seeing, some of the regulation that we're, you know, potentially may see from out of these agencies. So a lot of money also being spent on lobbying in addition to these political contributions.
You've written as well with some other colleagues of ours at Bloomberg about state-level lobbying, where, right. you know, folks who are, say, based in New York want to make sure that New York-specific regulations apply to them in ways that they find amenable. Where do these lines kind of blur? Like, when does something stop being kind of state-specific and get more national? Or does national also help you at the state level?
So it's interesting. I mean, I think obviously places like New York have gotten a lot of attention with their BIT license and some of the regulation that they have in place.
Yesterday, the state's top financial regulator unveiled the BIT license. These are regulations designed to protect consumers and improve cybersecurity practices for the digital currency.
And folks will say that, you know, the regulation at the state level could potentially influence what the federal government does. So you might see some blending of the lines in that sense. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of these big players, they are focusing primarily on who gets into these federal seats. Mm-hmm. So U.S. House reps, U.S. senators will probably see a lot of similar trends when the presidential race comes back around. And I think that's because right now, there is so much action at the federal level. We're seeing the legislation from Senators Lummis and Gillibrand to regulate the industry. We're expecting a lot more bills later in this year. Senators have talked about being potentially optimistic about stablecoin legislation before the end of this year. I will be
stunned.
Call me a skeptic on it. But, you know, I've been surprised before by Congress. So, you know, I think we are seeing a lot of the big names giving a lot on the federal side of things.
We'll be right back with more from Bloomberg reporter Allison Versprill on crypto's biggest political contributors.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
Is there anything about any of this that has surprised you? I mean, I do think the, as you delicately put it, the relative inexperience of some of these folks as it relates to how politics is really, really works and is made. But is there anything else that you have seen that you're like, that's weird?
I think it's really interesting how much spending we're seeing in the primaries, right? Because it's an interesting strategy. I feel like there are a good number of donors who say, you know what, I'll wait till the general election. I'll wait to see when I have a better chance of, mm-hmm. of putting my money towards someone who will actually end up being in one of these seats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I actually did ask Sam Bankman-Fried about this, why he has put so much money into primary races. And his response was that he felt if you were very issue focused, like he says he is with this pandemic preparedness sort of focus, that he thinks the primaries are important and that the issues that people are focused on can be very different when you're at that level.
I mean, he's not wrong from the psychology of the primary voter. Like if you are sufficiently motivated to register early, jump through the additional sets of hoops about, you know, showing up at the right place at the right time, you tend to be a certain kind of highly motivated, issue-oriented person for sure.
Right. And he was making the case that if you are more focused on just having either a Democrat or a Republican win, mm-hmm. then maybe your strategy is different. Maybe your strategy is to wait till the general election. So I think that's an interesting point out of all of this, is that this is a lot of money and we haven't even gotten to the generals yet.
Well, we shall see if crypto prices allow folks to keep spending this kind of money.
Yes, that was also a point that someone raised to me, was whether or not we would continue seeing the level of spending. I will say it's interesting, though. I was talking to someone who was like, well, I think this could make a difference for the millionaires who are donating to the to the midterms, but was saying, you know, for the billionaires, people like Sam Bankman-Fried, probably not going to make that much of a difference.
And so, the real money will be fine.
Right. And I actually talked to the spokesman for the super PAC that he's put most of his money through, Protect Our Future. And I asked, you know, have you had conversations with Sam Bankman-Fried where the strategy has changed at all just because the market's gone down, you know, he's lost some of his wealth. And the spokesperson basically said that has not entered into our conversations of yet. And that was after the Terra collapse. Now I haven't had a chance to circle back since the recent activities we're seeing in the market. It seems like, at least for these really big spenders, that we might not see too much of a difference.
Have any of the folks who are spending all this money lobbying had any successes?
So I think, well, when it comes to the political spending, if you look at Sam Bankman-Fried's donations, yes, the biggest contribution that was made through his super PAC was unsuccessful. But there were a lot of candidates that the PAC donated to that did win. So, you know, they say they change the strategy going forward. You focus on those folks that have won. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so maybe some potential successes there. And they've also said they've learned some lessons about kind of local dynamics in some of these states that maybe they didn't know before. On the lobbying side, I will say, you know, we saw most of the uptick in lobbying after the infrastructure bill was introduced last year.
The infrastructure bill that will create millions of jobs, rebuilding the arteries of our economy.
And there, just to pause there, the infrastructure bill, which had crypto elements in it.
Yes. So the infrastructure bill would have new reporting requirements for brokers, so exchanges like Coinbase and, you know, even maybe some DeFi exchanges. It's kind of unclear. And so basically this bill, there was a big outcry after it was introduced among the industry players because they said that it was the language was way too broad. It defined brokers in such a way that they said, oh, this could pull in crypto miners, crypto stakers, you know, folks who validate transactions on the blockchain. And they also said it could pull in software developers. And so there was a really big, heavy push from the industry to try to get this language rewritten. And what I will say is it was not successful, but in the short period of time where the lobbying happened, they made much more of an impact than maybe you would have thought. Like, it got very, very close to passing and basically didn't get into the final version of the bill on a technicality where a senator had raised objections about unrelated military spending.
Classic.
And it almost got through on unanimous consent. So every senator agreeing that there should be a change in this bill. I think that is pretty significant for an industry that did very little lobbying before this this issue was came to the forefront. And since then, we've just continued to see more and more spending. And you've seen that issue has continued to be one that some senators and House reps have continued to take on. A change to that provision is included in the bill that Senators Lummis and Gillibrand introduced in the Senate. We also saw Treasury put a letter out saying that in their regulations, they don't intend to sweep in, you know, these other entities that the industry was so worried about.
Which is language that may not have existed had folks not pushed against it in the previous infrastructure bill.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I think the government's desire is always for something to be as broad as possible to give them kind of the biggest the biggest stick, if you will, in sort of enforcing what they want to do. And so I think it's pretty significant that we see the administration putting this, clearly senators were also pushing on them to provide some clarification. So I think it's pretty significant that we saw this letter and we saw this kind of, you know, walk back, even though the legislation may be broad enough for them to take a very sweeping approach.
Thank you, Allison. You can find more of her reporting on the Bloomberg Terminal, on Bloomberg.com, or follow her on Twitter. She's Ali Versprill. On the next episode of Bloomberg Crypto, one of the most closely watched fights in crypto might sound a little obscure, but it's really important. It pits a company called Grayscale Investments against the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, a crucial regulator in the space. And it involves so-called exchange-traded funds, an extremely popular type of investment vehicle. And especially at the center of it all is Bitcoin, the largest and most liquid of the cryptos. Bloomberg reporter Katie Greifeld joins me to unravel why this fight is so important to the future of crypto markets. I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, and this is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions for the show to crypto@bloomberg.net, and you'll find us on Twitter @crypto. The supervising producer of this episode is Vicky Vergolina. Associate producer is Zainab Siddiqui. Associate producer is Moses Andam. Desta Wonderad is our engineer. Original music by Leo Sidran. Bloomberg's head of podcasts is Francesca Levy.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.